Give us 2 minutes and you may save your liberty. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to this week-ending edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And with me, as usual, is my sidekick colleague, friend and mentor in the Constitution, Chuck Michaelis.
And as always, I'm ready to go.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. All right. We've been talking about Senate Joint Resolution 2. Now, I want to make one thing clear here on our wrap-up here. All of the people who have put their names upon this particular piece of legislation, including the sponsor, Bill Coley, and including local state senator Tim Schaefer, have done so because they believe that our country is in an economic crisis. And many of them, I believe there's no way we can get Congress to do the things that should be they are responsible for doing in the first place to solve the crisis.
The one thing that has to be remembered, a historical lesson that we should learn here, and is that both sides of this issue should know that the only way to get fundamental changes done is by the manipulation of crisis. Now, crisis is unavoidable in any kind of government endeavor. In fact, that's basically sort of what governments are there to handle.
Oh, isn't that kind of a working definition of what government is?
I would think so. Yeah, the problem is that what happens is certain crises are looked for by individuals who are attempting to implement certain kinds of changes. And they will manipulate these crises and make them into something they are not. And that's why we brought up Shays Rebellion in the last show, because that wasn't what it really looks like. And a lot of the history books are wrong. And again, we're not going to go into that. But it was very successfully manipulated to get us from the old Articles of Confederation into the new Constitution. And really all that needed to be done to the old articles, in most people's view, was to fix the Interstate Commerce Clause. The mess we've ended up with the Interstate Commerce Clause in our present Constitution, because of deliberate manipulation of that, is simply amazing. But, again, that's not what we're going for today.
No.
Just remember that all crises are manipulable into something that they aren't.
And when you're dealing with folks who are creating crises, such as Occupy Wall Street, such as a banking meltdown, such as other things that have had a lot of outside help
historically,
to get going.
Historically, many, many revolutions have been fought in two or three cities of a country. Everybody else seems relatively peaceful and not much going on. In fact, in Russia, it was fought in St. Petersburg and Moscow and maybe a Black Sea port, Sevastopol, or one of the Black Sea ports. That was it. An entire country changed governmental hands because somebody seized St. Petersburg.
Right, exactly. So we have to be careful here because, right now we're in a situation where we have an economic situation. We have unrest going on. We have external pressures from foreign countries. We're in the midst of what could turn out to be a rather rancorous presidential election season.
It will be.
It will be. Okay. Well, that's fine. I was trying to give out a little bit of hope.
You're being diplomatic.
Yeah. I have a little bit more of an optimistic eschatology when it comes to these kind of things. But the whole point is that, folks, you put all this together in the crucible. And then you throw in somebody who's got a good heart but doesn't understand the history, making a official call through a joint resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 2, to call for a constitutional convention in this country at this time. Basically, what you've done is you've just handed a lever to those folks who, if they really think that our Constitution is outdated and outmoded, that we really have a living constitution which needs to change with the times. If as we've heard our president even say, I wish I didn't have to deal with Congress.
Yes.
Or had Congress people say how the Constitution really doesn't matter to us. And there have been sitting Congress people who've publicly said that.
Well, Pete Stark has said not the equivalent, but this is a direct paraphrase. He said there are no restrictions on the federal government. Nothing. None at all.
Not at all. Although Article 1, Section 8 is still sitting out there, and it's still the governing document.
Well, let's talk about this because basically one of the things, crises can always be manipulated, and they always are. Now, what's going on? Let's have a look at what could happen with Occupy Wall Street. It suddenly turns into things where there are open riots in the cities and that kind of thing. We've already had a sitting governor talking in terms of let's suspend elections.
To deal with the economic issue. Now, that was the governor of North Carolina. That happened here just probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, of course, her handlers tried to poo-poo that off. She was joking or she was being sarcastic. But the more reporters and investigators started digging into it, the more they realized she was dead serious. And it was actually part of the message she was trying to get across in the speech she was giving.
And that's the way it works. So people throw up trial balloons.
That's right. They wanted to see what kind of response they were going to get out of it.
And the way you get good people to come out and be in favor of things like a constitutional convention is you take them into places where there are people that they trust who tell them, who feed them bad history and bad reasoning. And by that, I think we should be open about what we're talking about. We're talking about the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is known as ALEC, and the Goldwater Institute, both of which have a reputation as conservative think tanks.
Neither of which the vast majority of people in our listening audience or in general in the population know anything about.
That's
because
right.
These are what you call the associations and the clubs, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
ALEC is a group, is supposedly conservative legislators. They've met for years. They gather them together 2 or 3 times a year in nice locales, like on the beach or somewhere, or at nice hotels. And they talked to him about how wonderful it would be if you just take these models of legislation and take them back to your states and pass them so that we can get all these wonderful things.
And admittedly, ALEC has put out some pretty decent stuff in the past.
They put out some decent stuff, but on this issue,
they're way off.
Their ear is a little tin because they're listening to the Goldwater Institute. Now, we bring this up because everybody remember, I'm sure some people in our listening audience remember Barry Goldwater and his 1964 presidential campaign. And, you know, that whole idea, that conservative movement that really kind of blossomed and took shape around Goldwater. Well, the big problem is that just as Goldwater moderated and became, well, liberal in his older age, seems like that's what the Goldwater Institute's doing as well. They're sending out, quote unquote, constitutional experts to go to state legislatures to create presentations about how wonderful it is and how it's necessary for us to have a new constitutional convention. Well, Mr. Michaelis, again, I said that he's my constitutional mentor. He is that because he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to do the hard work. He's also not afraid to hear somebody say something and say, wonder where they came up with that idea. Let me go dig and figure out what their sources were. And he's done just that. Chuck spent an awful lot of time putting together our policy bulletin for the Institute of Principled Policy on constitutional conventions, crises, and coups. What he did was we heard presentations and papers that were written by the quote-unquote a law professor from the University of Montana, who the Goldwater Institute has hired, or he's an adjunct at, to go around to the states to convince them to pass these resolutions calling for a constitutional convention. And, he lays out his scholarship, and, of course, he has a string of letters behind his name. And so, therefore, a lot of those legislators look at him and say, well, he must be an expert. There's that myth of the professional, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a cult of the professional.
Cult of the professional. But the point is that Mr. Michaelis took his bibliography, found the books and the thinkers that he was reading, and went and found copies. See, that's the beautiful part about the web and places like Amazon and Google Books and other places.
You can find books that are way out of print for a long, long time, which I did. I have to give kudos to my wife who bought me a Kindle for Christmas. And let me tell you, I figured out how to download books from Google Books and convert them to Kindle format. And I've got books that I've been looking for 5, 10 years. I got them for free.
That are now at your now accessible. But what he did was he went back to these original thinkers. We went to Blackstone, went to St. George Tucker and his
John Randolph Tucker
and their notes on the Constitution.
John Taylor of Caroline.
That's right. The people who were part of the original convention, legal scholars and thinkers who were writing commentaries on the Constitution itself and on the and I'm looking at a set of books called The Founders' Constitution that Mr. Michaelis has on his bookshelf. We're here in the vast, spacious library of the Michaelis domain today recording. And, you know, that's the whole point. I'm seeing, like, vast numbers of resources here, books that he has studied, because this issue is that important, ladies and gentlemen. It's worth spending the time to understand. But what he discovered was these scholars that are going around the country telling legislators how wonderful it would be to call for a new convention are cherry picking their sources and taking things out of context from other thinkers to make their case.
Honestly, I was appalled at some of the, for instance, you and I happened to find a copy of a book called Constitutional Brinksmanship that was heavily quoted. And I went through and read the book, and I actually bought two copies of them because, and here's a good reason.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. I gave one to Barry for his birthday. It's a $90 book that I happened to find in a used book place that had a stack of them for a dollar a piece. Well, that's a kind of a rare find, so I hurried up and bought us a couple. But he and I both read it, and we both came to the same. I said, you need to read this to see if I'm completely off base. And I read the book.
And he didn't tell me what his conclusion was before I read it and told him what my conclusion
was. And we both concluded the same thing, that basically what the Goldwater Institute fellow, this constitutional expert, said, this book said, the book did not say.
Said exactly the opposite.
Said the opposite. In fact, he said it basically that this scholar who had worked in the Justice Department was in support of the ability to call a controlled convention. And in fact, the guy said, no, that's not what you can do. And he went through the historical precedents for it, why it couldn't be done.
Exactly. Now, but the whole point is that we have boiled this down into a policy paper that's about 10 or 12 pages long. It's a small booklet. And we would like to get a copy into your hands. Now, if you want to go online and download it and print it for yourself, it'll print out as just regular sheet. Or you can contact us at principalpolicy.com and go in and fill out in the comment boxes, and we can send you a copy of this bulletin for you to read for yourself. We are also giving this bulletin to every member of the Ohio General Assembly, starting with the co-sponsors on Senate Joint Resolution 2, then with the members of the Senate Finance Committee to which the bill has been assigned, then to the full Senate, then to the House of Representatives. We want them to understand that there is better scholarship out there because we actually read in context and we understand and read the history of our current governing document. The reason why we're so concerned about this, ladies and gentlemen, is just as in 1787, we have no guarantee that what the convention, if called, comes out with will have any relationship to our current form of government or be ratified in the same way. It could be by a plebiscite. It could be by national popular vote. It could just be by executive order, depending on how this is set up. We have no guarantees, ladies and gentlemen, that we the people or the states or state conventions could have any say in putting anything together that could totally radically change our form of government.
Well, we know that there are already constitutional models out there that do bypass the ratification procedure.
Yes.
And in fact, they go to a direct plebiscite.
Ones that have been funded by major philanthropies and have been... Ford Foundation and others who have put millions of dollars into the development of these documents. And again, it's because we've done the research and we've gone and we've found these materials which have been kept from public view for a very long time, that we're able to put this together to make that presentation. Now, what we're asking you to do is visit our website at principledpolicy.com, click on the link to contact your state senators and your state representatives, and to share with them your concerns about why it's not a good idea to have Ohio on record as calling for a constitutional convention. There was another issue in this resolution about trying to bind future legislators in the next sessions, because they call it a continuing application.
Maybe we better stretch that into the Saturday show.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow on our Saturday program. But please visit the website. Please contact your state legislator, your state senator. Be kind, be reasonable, be gentle, because they are really dealing with a lack of information.
That's right.
And we want to make sure that they understand it from a constitutional viewpoint. Thank you for being with us. This is Principles and Policies, signing off.
See you tomorrow.